And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Welcome back to town. What's going on?
Thank you. Good to be back. I guess it's a little warmer down here. A little warmer. I was hoping to come back to 78 and sunny, but there's not that bitter, right to your bone chill of the state of Michigan. So it's good to be back.
So you're telling me you brought some of this crap with you? That's what you're telling me.
I guess. Was it nice like the last few days and it just got bad?
Weekend wasn't great. Last week's pretty nice.
Yeah.
70s.
Well, what are we looking at this week?
Not the 70s.
Not the 70s?
No.
So it's going to be crap like this now, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Highs in the 50s this week and a bunch of rain. Yeah, sorry.
My bad, guys.
Yep.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Doing great. Thanks.
We got a lot to get into on the program today. Unfortunately, some of it will include the Tennessee Titans as well. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But Vanderbilt gets a big win against Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri Tigers. The Vols go on the road, take down Kentucky. I mean, heck, even the Preds got a win this weekend in one of their two games. So some winning going on in our city, in our area this weekend, not involving the Tennessee Titans. We will get into all that. Joe, we are going to get into the 38-14 loss by the Tennessee Titans to the Indianapolis Colts. We will do that here in just a minute. I do want to start on the Vanderbilt front, though, because they get the 17-10 win. It was a back-and-forth game. It was largely kind of a defensive game where you look at it and you're like, well, not a whole lot happened. It was actually a pretty eventful, low-scoring 17-10 game, including a Hail Mary attempt that ended up being completed by Missouri that was about, I don't know, 3/8 of an inch short of the goal line there that would have been just amazing. Had they actually gotten into the end zone on that play? But what did you make of the Doors and their big win? College game day in town, the whole nine.
Yeah, well, first of all, I thought just everything was awesome in terms of like the pregame, and I heard from people who tailgated and went out there and said it was it's like as good as you could hope. Good for Vanderbilt. Good for Candace Lee for like getting that on campus. I mean, you know, the SEC tournament comes here, or whatever else comes here, and, like, they set up on Broadway. It's fine. You know, it's a good spot for things. Obviously, the draft was great, but it should be specific to Vanderbilt. And I thought that was great. It turned out, you know, these things are all great advertisements for these programs, but some of them don't need it. You know, Alabama gets 3 a year or whatever. It's like, yeah, great. Great to see you again. Okay. For Vanderbilt, I just thought it was such a good advertisement for – you know, the program, university, all that stuff. And then I thought the game was just I'm not surprised that it was – I mean, I thought it would have been a little higher scoring overall, probably on both sides, a little bit more of a defensive game than I thought. But, I mean, Missouri's tough. They got dudes on defense who are going to play on Sundays. They got a tough – I mean, they're running back – you know, Ahmad Hardy, he is a very good running back. And it's too bad, obviously, what happened to – Bo Prabula in that game. But then the freshman comes in and he looks great. He's running around and making throws. And, you know, some tough breaks, you know, for Vanderbilt. They could have been in maybe a little bit better position. You have the tip pick and stuff like that. But I just thought it's just one of those, you know, they had the will to win and they had that fantastic drive. Penalties on that, you know, were part of it. But ultimately just had to grind one out. And I think that's potentially, yeah, I mean, I might even say probably the best team they're going to see until they see Tennessee at the end. Right. I mean, I say that, and I don't know. I mean, maybe Texas is like rejuvenated from, I mean, to me, in my mind, I'm like, Texas is toast.
Yeah.
And now they aren't, so they're still alive, so who knows? Maybe they'll be rejuvenated this weekend. But I think Missouri's a better team than them.
Yeah, I think right now for sure they are. And by the way, on the Bo Prabula front, and it looked like it was going to be really bad. Apparently it's just a really bad sprain, and there's no, like, break there. So that's great. Good to see, because anytime the air cast comes out, that's
right.
That's
not
good.
You don't like seeing that.
You don't like seeing that. So, you know, obviously that's a tough loss for Missouri, and I doubt with a sprain that bad he's going to be back anytime, like, relatively soon, but better than what it could have been on that play. Yeah, like, I just thought it. Sometimes in this league, like you said, you got to grind one out, and that's what they did on Saturday. They grinded one out. You've got a road test in Texas coming up, but you took care of business to the point where, again, you know, we were talking about this at the Preds morning skate on Saturday. Like, in College Game Day was on everywhere, and Willie and Max got back in there, and Max got Willie behind the stage of College Game Day, and it was awesome, like, just to see some photos from back there. Like,
nice.
Willie was, like, I don't know, 13 feet away from Nick Saban back there. And we were just talking about Vanderbilt, clearly. I mean, and some of this is the ineptitude of the Titans. You know, obviously it's early in Predator season, but Vanderbilt is clearly, without a doubt, the story in this city right now, and it's not close. And when did we think that we would see that, right?
Yeah.
And I think Saturday was a good celebration of that, I guess is the way I'd put it.
Yeah, no doubt. No, and look, it's like at this point, I mean, I think Indiana's already like, yeah, okay, I guess they're just great. They just destroy everyone. I mean, Vanderbilt is this year's Indiana in terms of this – the story of the sport too, right? At this point, like, holy crap. And again, there's a bigger story there of some of these different programs that are rising up and you know, getting a seat at the table. But yeah, they're one of the top stories in college football. Pavia, I think, is one of the most recognizable, and boy, he's becoming polarizing too, by the way. You know, athletes and you know, certainly college football players.
Yeah.
Out there. So no, it is. It's wild. It is. It's like, you know, you get in the middle of a season and it's just the next game. And so it goes so fast, but you know, you step back and you're like, man, just imagine this. Think about what we were talking about not long ago at all.
Yeah.
About Vanderbilt. Just like, is there any hope at all? And now it's like, what could possibly stop them?
Yep. Tennessee gets the win against Kentucky, 56-34, the final. Offense looked great. Joey Aguilar looked great. Tennessee's got bad defense. I mean, there's no other way around it. They got a bad defense, and I wonder what that's going to look like. And we'll get into this later in the show, certainly later in the week. But it's essentially a playoff game for Tennessee on Saturday against Oklahoma. It's essentially what we got. It's a playoff game on Saturday.
Yeah, for both, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's an elimination game. And look, I like their chances at home after watching Ole Miss and Oklahoma. But I'm with you. You know, the Boo Carter play, man.
They might need to get him off the field. He's bad.
Like, how do you – I that shocked me.
If he's just not going to try out there, I don't know what you're doing.
He could have tackled him at, like, the 12th.
Yeah, like, if you're just not going to – you're not going to give effort, then I don't really know what we're doing here.
It's just, you know.
Go find somebody else.
Apart from all the other stuff, it's like, you know, from the Tennessee aspect of it, it's like, dude. Like, you have so much talent.
Yep.
This is, you know how much you're hurting yourself right now? It's very frustrating.
It's amazing.
To watch.
And then there was the Titans, the 38-14 loss to the Indianapolis Colts. The game played out, Joe, I think exactly how we all expected for the game to play out. We talked about it on Friday heading into this game. It had basically like a UAB walking into Neyland Stadium, taking on Tennessee-type feel to it. That's kind of the way it bared out on Sunday. For the Colts, they win 38-14. They improved to 7-1. Titans dropped to 1-7. And you know, the funny part is, I actually thought Cam Ward played pretty well in this game, like relative to what the situation was for him. Like, he wasn't perfect. You know, he had the interception on the fourth down play, which, you know, is what it is at that point in the game. Game was over by that point anyway. But he ends up 22 of 38, 259, one touchdown, one pick. Got sacked four times and a quarterback rating of 76.5. So, again, like, nothing there from a numbers perspective that's necessarily going to blow you away. But, I mean, you're talking about no Calvin Ridley in the game, an offensive line that continues from a play-to-play basis to really you're not knowing what you're getting out there. And Chim Dike, he's pretty good, man. Like, he's seven catches, 93 yards, eight targets. And he got held a couple times where he probably could have had a bigger day from a stat standpoint. We know what he does in the return game. Like, Jim DK, pretty good player for the Titans.
He's becoming one of the best stories, and maybe it could, because, like, it looks like he's really figuring out how to play, run routes, all that stuff, and he's fast. and he makes plays. And so, you know, and look, I think Ward throwing to the three young guys to different degrees is like the best thing going right now. I mean, I thought there was definitely some good stuff from Cam Ward in this game. Some bad stuff too. Io Manner's wide open on that shot, and it's like, man, put air under it.
He got to keep running on that play though. Like, Io Manner got to keep going. He stopped in the middle of the route.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to look at it again. It still just looked like, because he was kind of hemmed in by the
sideline. I think
he
might
have
sailed him anyway, but he definitely stopped running. Like, you got to keep going. And Cam's screaming at him after the play. Yeah. You got to go, man. Keep going.
It's like Io Manner kind
of. I think he would have sailed it anyway, but still.
Io Manner almost broke out, and Ward was expecting him to kind of, like, stay up the seam.
Yeah.
Almost a little minute miscommunication.
Yeah. So, I guess maybe it's more, maybe a little bit of, like, you know, young pass, you know, passing personnel figuring each other out. But at least there's something to watch there. But
yeah. That's the main thing.
That's about where it ends.
So we're going to get into the Titans day with the Colts yesterday. I will say, it's a pretty good football weekend for me. You know, we were talking in the pre-show meeting, extensive pre-show meeting. You know, Vols win. Packers take down Rodgers last night. Put up 210 points in the fantasy league. I didn't even get to the fact that within a span of about, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of each other, just soul-crushing losses for both Drinkwitz and Beamer back-to-back. It was beautiful. I was salivating.
Man, South Carolina.
They had the game won, and then they didn't.
So you really you didn't want South Carolina to hold on to that game?
I did, but I mean, the fact that they didn't, lost, like, yeah. I wasn't sad about it. I was like, you idiot. There we go.
Take heart in his misery.
Exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into the Titans' performance from yesterday and basically throw out this question. What in the world is there left to say about Tennessee Titans at this point of the year? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Looking back at the game, you look at it, you know, we had an opportunity at the end of the half. I think the offense did a great job of getting in position there to kick a field goal, and unfortunately, we didn't miss it. We missed it, knowing, you know, you go out, you talk about it. Scoring at the end of the half and then getting the ball to start the second half, and unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. And then, you know, getting after that first series, getting outscored 28-0 there was a tough way to start and get going, get rolling there. So we got to do a better job overall as an entire football team. And, you know, the run defense, you got to be able to stop the run. We understand when we came in here against a really good team that runs the ball. We had missed opportunities, third down situations during the game early on, opportunity for big play we didn't hit. So it's just, we got to play better.
That's Mike McCoy after the game yesterday. Titans lose 38-14 to the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis, very early in the year, Joe, has enjoyed two nice weeks against the Tennessee Titans. Unfortunately for them, they don't get to see them the rest of the year. But now 7-1 for the Colts. Colts 5-0 at home, by the way. And Jonathan Taylor continues to have just an outstanding start to the year. 12 rushes, 153 yards, 2 touchdowns yesterday, so an average of 12.8 yards per carry for Jonathan Taylor yesterday. And he also added another touchdown through the air, 2 catches, 21 yards, 1 touchdown for him as well. So 3 touchdowns in total for Jonathan Taylor. And Daniel Jones, 21 of 29, 272, 3 touchdowns through the air, quarterback rating of 136. So they could not stop the passing attack for the Colts. Could not stop the rushing attack for the Colts, and that was about what we thought heading into the game.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor apparently the first player to score 3 touchdowns against the same team in 3 straight games, which is an interesting stat. But the point is the Titans are that team. They are that team. Couldn't get much going defensively. I mean, he should have had a 200-yard. They should have found a way to get him a 200-yard game. I mean, it was there for the taking. But again, it's like Cam Ward throwing the ball. I liked a little bit of what we saw from Tajay Spears, you know, Dustin from Hopkinsville saying he should be running back one. I think he does look like he's got a little bit more going, than Tony Pollard right now. And, yeah, you know, I actually thought like, you know, the offensive line, you know, Mandor opened up a couple times there, late and,
I don't know if that's ever going
to
get old.
Provided free access to the QB. I thought, you know, Latham, Kwity Paye, I mean, that's another – it's a good player. I thought he did okay. I feel like Latham – I'd be interested to read like betting. I like betting field scouting every week for PK side, but I do feel like Latham had a better week. Not a great week. There's still a couple reps that looked pretty ugly. And I think their issue right now in like the Cushenberry Zeitler area seems to be where there's a lot of pressure coming through.
Yeah. It's a problem. There's no doubt about that. And like I said, 4 sacks yesterday for the Colts. So you've got that. That's going on. It got to the point yesterday in the game where it's just like, man, you know, other than watching Ward, obviously, and we mentioned, you know, DK with a great game yesterday too. I don't really know what else to say about this team at this point, man. Like, it just kind of is what it is. I mean, they did run the ball a little bit better yesterday. They ran it 25 times in total. They ended up with 113 yards. You know, obviously the 41 yarder by Spears is kind of the main one there. I mean, to play this game, if you take that one away,
they
didn't do much on the ground, but you can't take it away. It's 41 yarder by Spears, so
but it would be like, yeah, like 24 for 70, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be very good, but you know, good to see
explosives.
Nice to
are
see
good
some explosives in the running game, and you know, basically an even split in the running game. Spears with 9 carries, Pollard with 11 yesterday, so ended up kind of right in the middle of things there. So you know, offensively, you talk about all that. You talk about it, you know, a little bit better of a day running the ball. You've got a passing attack that I thought looked okay yesterday, especially without Ridley coming in the game, and yet it still amounts to 14 points at the end of the day. And by the way, it was 7 for most of the game, and then the last touchdown comes way late as it's just totally over in garbage time.
Yep, garbage time touchdown to get you to 14. It's a very tired story. And I'll say, you know, we heard – you know, I know we can get into this more if people want. I mean, I don't think Mike McCoy was any sort of real serious candidate anyway. But I just cannot believe the cowardly football.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And it's 2 straight weeks, and it's like you're watching this, and it's like, now look, I understand football has changed, and I think changed for the better with the aggressiveness math has demonstrated to coaches, like. You know, yeah, it actually makes more sense to go in a lot more situations than they used to, right?
Yes.
Mike McCoy's coaching in 2012. And, I mean, it's just absolutely insane to me that – so 4th and 3 from the 42, right? Down 17-7 with the season you're having. Now let's go punt.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Absolute loser football. I just –
play that he broke off the 80-yard run?
Absolutely. Yeah. Next play, 80 yards in your face, game's over. I'll be interested to hear what people think about Cam Ward's reaction. You don't want to go all Mac Jones out there and screaming at Matt Patricia, although, yeah, that's kind of justified in its own right. But I don't think he crossed the line. He was just like, let's go for it.
Yeah.
You know? Let's go for it, Mike. Come on.
I understand the camera caught it. I would imagine that type of a conversation happens all the time in the NFL.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it.
It's one of those things where it's like the public showing up of the, you know, some people have a problem with that. Right. I mean, to me, I don't think he crossed the line into Nassau's. He was just like, Mike, what the hell?
Let's go for it.
I mean, it's just, come on, man.
I think that this was not going to be an issue anyway, but can we officially just go ahead and eliminate Mike McCoy from being considered for the head coaching job?
I don't think
that was going to happen anyway, but like through the first 2 weeks, let's go pick a head coach from this large pool that they're going to have at the end of the year. Let's not waste time and mess around and think about, you know, hiring the interim head coach. Well, I mean, by the way, the team has shown absolutely no signs of that coaching bump that we talk about anyway. So I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. But, yeah, I guess let's not do the Mike McCoy thing.
Yeah, I know some people –
I'm willing to pull the plug on that after 2 games.
I don't think it was a thing. I don't think. But, yes, in case anybody had that thought like this could be – well, I threw it out there. You know, hey, malarkey. Malarkey happened. I don't think there's any danger of that happening. And I know some people think that – some things look better. I mean, maybe they do. They've done a few things maybe to simplify or whatever. I mean, you know, they have some stretches where I think offensively they look a little better. But again, like you just said, it's like even with that, they find a way to not score points ever.
Yeah.
They continue to be consistently not scoring points ever. But, yeah, like that – between this and then the thing last week before the half where it's like – and you go for points there. You have the situation absolutely demands you go for points, and they just – again, surrender Cobra. It's more offensive, I think, now. And I know, like, Dan Campbell's on the extreme other end, always going. Yes. Sometimes he's overboard. But, like, the math, I mean, there's, like, that surrender index or whatever the heck it is, and it was, like, 99.6 percentile of cowardly calls. Like, no one does that anymore, and they shouldn't. It's made football better. Don't make it worse.
I saw the same, like, it was like the same tweet from, like, I don't know, 50 people that I was watching at the time. I was like, can you fire the interim coach? Like, can you fire the interim coach after they decided to punt that ball on that
interim
play?
Interim?
Yeah.
Can you have, has anybody ever had an interim coach?
I'm going to doubt it. You can make some history here if you're the Titans. Let's head back to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the show. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Robbie, congrats on the Packers, man.
Thanks.
It's a good life. I mean, I can imagine that would be a pretty fun life. I figured something about myself out this weekend, and that's I was so happy and elated on Saturday. And then, like, on Sunday, I wasn't even sad on Sunday, dude. I was just like, and I promise you, I've cared so much about this Titans team. But I'm looking back at them, dude, I'm like, this is the worst team we've ever had. Like, I'm thinking Bishop Sankey. I'm thinking the years where Mark Mariani had to plug our season tickets because we had nobody else. Like, this is the worst team we've ever had, dude. Like, they are so bad. Vandy would compete with this team. I'm not saying they would beat them, but they would compete with them. Like, we're horrible, dude. Like, I was so happy to see Vandy and UT play the way they did, and the Preds are playing and competitive, and the Titans are giving me nothing. Amy is terrible. I hope she fires herself. I hope she sells this freaking team. Like, it's Brinker, are you in love with him? Is that why you hired him? Like, is it something weird about that? Because he sucks. Our roster sucks, man. This is the worst team ever. I wanted to say that because I'm like, it's way past, I think it's past apathy at this point. It's just like, I don't even care. I mean, I had it on in the background, but like, I would have to go watch it to be able to tell you everything that happened in that game, and that's never happened. It's never been like that for me. So, horrible, horrible Tennessee Titan team.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. All over the place with that caller. I like it.
Got a lot out there. You got a lot out there in one call. I'm not even going to touch this college team would compete with this NFL team. Not going to do it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More to your reaction to get to. Colts win 38-14 yesterday against the Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. Titans lose 38-14 to the Indianapolis Colts. Taking your thoughts on that. We will get back into Vanderbilt's big win over the weekend later in the program as well. Tennessee takes down Kentucky, and we will get into all of that throughout the show today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, David, to the program. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Enjoy the show. Just had a quick question for you just to get your thoughts. I know the Jets picked up their first win yesterday, scored 39 in the process. Did the Titans kind of solidify their hold on being the worst team in the NFL, regardless of record yesterday?
Thank you for the call, David. I mean, I think they are. I think they – look. There's a chance here, Joe. And look, they may win a game or two more along the way. We'll see what happens. There is a chance that we could get to the end of this thing and look back at the season and say, wow, go back and look at that Arizona Cardinals game. It basically the act of God that it took for the Titans to win that game. And that is the one win that they finished with this year. That very well could happen.
My goodness. That's crazy, but yeah. I think you may have a point there.
I mean, look, the Saints are bad. The Jets, I know they scored 39 yesterday. The Jets are bad.
Cleveland's
bad. Cleveland at least has good defense. You know, Myles Garrett had 5 sacks yesterday.
That's insane.
So, I think they're the worst team. And the fact that they won that Arizona game, again, the more distance that we get away from it, continues to be just amazing, the set of events that had to happen for the Titans to win that game.
Right. And, 0-16 last time it happened. Detroit Lions, 2008. What a magical year. 0-17 just sounds. It's just one more game, but it just sounds. You know, it just sounds even much more special. And the Titans could have had that, but the Arizona game happened. No, they got a real shot at 1-16. You know, the Jets. Jets are really bad too. That's the weirdest thing. I mean, Justin Fields was incredible yesterday, and he's had like some huge performance. The last two performances, he was 6-for-12 for 46 yards, 9-for-17 for 45 yards.
And Steve, the owner, to call him out.
Absolutely light. Yeah, yeah. Outside noise.
Outside noise.
Yeah. I love that. I know he owns a team, but that's outside noise. Good for you. Because what are you going to do? Like, you know, like when the contract. Yeah, screw you, man.
Yeah.
Good for you, Justin Fields.
You got to watch out for that outside noise.
So they're capable.
Here's my boss.
Yeah. Hey, man, check's still going to clear. You know, like they. They're bad. And by the way, I don't know if anybody watched the end of that game and saw the cornerback who made the game-winning, that game clinching play. His name was Jarvis Brownlee. Kind of a nice pickup for the Jets there.
Yep.
So it'll be a race. It'll be a race to the end. But like that performance from the Jets, and I know like obviously the Bengals aren't world beaters, but they have been playing well offensively with Flacco, and they continued to. Like, I mean, the Titans, I don't know. Again, we're like, hey, pretty good yesterday. Cam looked all right.
He's all right.
Yep. 14 points.
Yeah.
And the defense is atrocious. And obviously not, you know, Simmons will come back and they'll get better defensively, but they were bad with him playing great.
Well, exactly. And you know, even you know, I think the Pittman catch in the end zone yesterday is a pretty good example of like even when they're in pretty good spots, they're just not making plays, right? Like, I mean, I don't know that you could be closer to Michael Pittman than Jalen Armour Davis was on the play, and he reaches back with one hand and pins it to his body and catches the touchdown in the end zone. And it's like, well, that about sums up the Titans right there. Even when they're there, they're not really there.
Right. Yeah, it was like actually like, hey, that look, that's a good rep, good coverage, but then it's like, how did that happen?
How'd he catch
still?
It? Yeah. Just
sorry.
It's tough to see. And again, you know, as we discussed heading into the game, Tyler Warren is just a great pick for the Colts. Like he's going to be really – he already is good. He's going to be really, really good and a problem that they've got to deal with for a long time.
Yeah, he's a stud. No doubt. It's a – I mean, you know, beyond the Titans being terrible for Titans fans, I mean, like the Colts – they're talking about like the Colts being the best team in the AFC yesterday on the, you know, on the pregame and postgame shows, and it's like I don't know that I necessarily buy that yet. But it is a discussion point. Like, it's worth talking about.
Yeah.
They're really good. And talking about just to make all of this worse, a team that we thought would be pretty bad and that there'd be some shared misery with Colts and Titans fans. But no, actually, they're actually really good, and they just destroyed you like it was, like an FBS against FCS. Real quick, Charles from College Grove says, here's how bad it is. I returned to BNA during the third quarter. The Bars had Tampa Bay, New Orleans on their TVs, and that game was 23-3.
Yeah, it's like, put the Bucs game on.
Let's pretend the Titans don't exist.
By the way, Jonathan Taylor, the overwhelming favorite to win the Offensive Player of the Year award in the NFL right now. He is -250 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Next closest is Jackson Smith and Jigba at +600. So a heavy favorite for Jonathan Taylor to be the Offensive Player of the Year. Played the Titans twice already, and he's looked like the Offensive Player of the Year in both of them. I think he scored 6 touchdowns in 2 games against the Titans.
So 9 in the last 3. But, yeah, 6 this year, yeah. Yeah, and think about that, too, that when you talk about the Colts and you know, the last few years and all the turmoil and how many – I mean, frankly – all you Colts fans who listen, how many of you are like, yeah, get out of here with this contract. Yeah, we don't need a running back. Who cares about running backs? Get out of here. Pretty fortuitous that he ended up staying in the fold, huh?
Quick aside, speaking of running back, sorry about your boy yesterday, Scataboo.
No, that sucks. Dislocated ankle. That really sucks, man. That really sucks. I mean, even you know, it stinks for him. He's going to be a hell of a player. We can all see this now, right? But even like for the Giants – they've kind of become fun, and I just I don't think it's going to go well for them. I know it's just a running, but he is a big part of what they've been doing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny, the mailman, to the program. Kenny, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, good friends. Appreciate y'all being on. Question for you, young Robert. You have alluded three or four times to your dislike of the Missouri coach, but we don't know the backstory. I hope there's a good one there. I'd like to hear that. But before I go, we were in a restaurant yesterday afternoon when the Titans game was on, and the screen came on. Signal lost due to satellite weather. Stay tuned. And five people started clapping. I'm not joking to that. It was like, really? It's really, it's got this bad. But we've got to hear the Missouri story, because, I mean, all you have to do is mention his name, and you almost hear you gritting your teeth.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it. I mean, there's really not much story to it. It's mainly his face.
The story is Robbie is very easily annoyed by D-bags.
Yeah, I mean, it's really his face. Like, he just thinks he's some tough guy out there, and then – yeah, I go back to the Heupel thing a couple years ago. He's like, we're standing on business, Josh. Oh, and then he takes off running the other way before Heupel can even see what he says. Like, he's just a weasel. Yeah. That's what it is.
Now, I will – so to repeat that, for people who don't know, I mean, Kenny may not know that story, but, yeah, they beat Tennessee, a couple years ago. It was pretty, kind of an ugly game for Tennessee. And, yeah, he's like, we're standing on business.
But he didn't even – huh? Like if you're going to talk trash to the opposing coach, like, hang around to talk trash. Don't do the drive-by and then run away.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Heupel's like, what
I haven't even know what he said. He's like, what?
What happened? Yeah. Speaking of that, did you see Bill Self and what's his name in Louisville yesterday?
No, I did not watch the college basketball exhibition.
Well, I don't expect you to watch the game. By the way, Tennessee Duke had a pretty good one. But no, the post game.
I didn't see it. No.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. Okay. I was like, geez, Bill Self? Yeah, maybe get a little. It was like handshaking, like really aggressive handshaking. Right. But yeah, talking a little trash. Not bad.
I mean, maybe that's what Mike McCoy needs to do. Spice things up a little bit around here. Start going after the other coach. Or if you're not going to go for it on fourth down and three, then get after the other coach.
Do something other than bore the hell out of everyone.
Oh, man.
And apparently PK's mad at him because what he's players talk first. I don't know. And he's like, that's what they told me to do.
PK's getting after Mike McCoy.
Yeah.
Joey
Sly. He doesn't
Sly,
seem to be a big fan.
He does not. Joey Sly missed his only attempt yesterday right before the half. So, like, it was, you know, it's 17-7 at that point. The Titans do a decent job driving into somewhat field goal range, getting in the field goal range, and then you miss the kick right before the half, and it just kind of felt like, well, that's it. So you combine that with what happened right out of the half of you make the decision in a 17-7 game on fourth down and short to punt the ball, and you net like 20 yards out of the punt, and then you immediately give up an 80-yard rush. Like, that entire sequence just – kills you. I mean, you can't overcome that.
Yeah, it encapsulates, well, I think, how bad of a decision that was, but also kind of sums up the Titans pretty well, too, at large. Yeah, 22-yard net when there is no excuse. Yet your rookie quarterback is so mad about it, he's yelling. Again, I don't think it was a problem, but he's yelling like, dude, what are we doing, basically? Yeah. And you immediately pay for it.
Yeah, it's like you play the field position game and then you gave up an 80-yard scamper.
It's a different situation, but I'm trying to remember what the play was. But if anybody remembers that Monday Night Football game in Houston when Vrabel was coaching, they did something really stupid to go. I think it may be some trick play or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Was that the Luke Stocker play? When was the Luke Stocker play? Was that Malarkey? I can't remember who that was.
It might have been Luke Stocker. But then – so then the – Texans get it at the one, and the next play is a 99-yard touchdown run, or 98-yard, whatever. Yeah,
that's a tough one.
But that was at least like, okay, goofy trick play or whatever. This is like, again,
cowardice.
Yeah, it's offensive now in today's football. It's offensive to see a decision like that.
Well, particularly when you're 1-6 and you're the interim head coach. What do you have to lose?
I got to be careful. I got to lose these games close so I can get the job. What?
It's like, dude, I mean, if there's ever a time to go for it, you're in it, man. Like, it's your team. You're 1-6. Everybody's probably getting fired at the end of the year anyway. Go for it.
Right. You know, Charles Davis, at one point, it was a different situation, I think. Or maybe it was that. I don't know. But he was like, you know, there is something to like the rookie quarterback, you don't want to, you know, like you don't want to basically have failure, whatever, too much negative stuff. Yeah. I'm not exactly phrasing it how he did, but I don't know. I disagree. Like I understand the idea of like you don't want a rookie quarterback to lose confidence,
right?
So you don't want things, but also like you have to fail too, right? Like anybody succeeded who hasn't failed along the way, I think that's a big part of the process. Let him make plays. Put him on the field and put him in tough situations, pressure situations. See how he does.
Well, who knows? Like you might actually convert.
You might actually succeed.
Yeah.
I actually like your chances. Okay, on a 4th and 3.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What did we make of Cam Ward's day throwing the football? And what do we make of where he's at right now through the 8-game mark with the situation being what it is around him? We'll take your thoughts on all that. We'll get back into the Vanderbilt game coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today prior to the Monday night football game. NFL matchup tonight is the Commanders taking on the Chiefs. Interesting Monday night football game tonight. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Since you're the expert on punchable faces, what do you think about Shane Steichen?
I mean, he's on the list.
Is he? Yeah, he's a little bit annoying. Maybe it's just, it's like people win all of a sudden and they become annoying and you're just like,
Sirianni's on the list. There's a few people on the list out there.
Yeah, they're showing all the coaches with the winning
victory
coaches
jersey
with the victory speeches. We have to see all the victory speeches now. By the way, I know we're going to talk more Vandy later, but I think Clark Lee's like when the ESPN's getting the pregame, the postgame, he's doing some good stuff, man.
He is.
He's bringing it. Good job, Clark.
He is. What did you make of Cam Ward overall yesterday? We went through the numbers earlier: 22 of 38, 259, one touchdown, one pick, quarterback rating of 76.5. He averaged 6.8 per completion yesterday. What did you think? What you saw from Cam Ward?
Yeah, I thought it was, to me, just some of the best stretches that we've seen this year. Just, every game there's like a couple throws where you're like, whew.
Yeah.
I thought yesterday there were probably 5 or 6. Yeah, not like, oh my gosh, throws, but like that was on time, with velocity, catchable, perfect read, quick, balls out. I'm interested to see like what Bettingfield thinks if he's seeing progress. It seems like maybe there is some. Now, again, the Iowa Manor play, whatever happened there, I do feel like it was a sail. There were a couple others where it's, just miss the throws. I also thought a couple times I thought he was a little bit more aggressive breaking the pocket and looking to run. And you just have to do that some. You got to do that a little bit more. So I thought it was, I thought it was a step forward. Maybe not a huge step forward, but a step forward.
I think you'll take any step forward at this point, right? Like, just even if it's incremental, I think you have to take. And again, I didn't walk away from the game yesterday thinking, oh, man, what a performance that just turns the corner and he's just going to start ripping it the rest of the way. But I thought it was, given the circumstances of who they were playing and what he didn't have available to him on his own offense, I thought it was pretty good. Again, the most encouraging thing from yesterday continues to be DK. Like, he's a pretty good player. They may have found a pretty good player there in the 4th round. I know earlier in the year we were kind of focused in on Iowa Manor, and he was fine yesterday. I think he had four catches for 52 yards for Iowa Manor on 8 targets yesterday. So, okay. But DK, 7 catches, 93 yards, 8 targets, and again, he got held on another play. Like, he's a problem. He was causing issues for the Colts in the secondary yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of them, Iowa Manor and DK, are going to be parts of the future of this team. It's like if you can find someone to be like a true one, I know that's Ridley now. But I think that's part of the idea moving forward, is to have like a true one with those two guys as your next two. I think, again, if they keep getting better, then you could have something. And maybe Iowa Manor was ahead of DK earlier, but there's just a total difference in explosiveness there. DK stands out on the field with his speed.
Yep.
And so again, if he's gonna continue to grow in the technical side of the position. There's a lot that goes into it. Man, he could really be one heck of a find in the fourth round.
Well, and again, you know, we're 1-7 here. Talking about a long slog still left to go. We're not even Halloween yet, okay? So there's a lot of football left to be played. And like we said earlier, there's a limitation with this team right now of, like, what to talk about, what's new, because it's the same stuff every week. We're talking about the quarterback maybe taking a little bit of a step forward yesterday, and they still end up with 14 points on the board. So it just kind of feels like every week it's Groundhog Day over and over and over again with this group. At this point, I mean, can Cam Ward power through? Number one, can he stay healthy the rest of the year? That's the main thing. But number two, can he power through and show a little bit of progress as the year goes on? I mean, I don't know that he and or this team are going to have the capability of, from this point till January, the end of the year, there being major progress. I just, at this point, I don't see that. Like, I don't think that's operating within the world of realism. I don't think that January is going to come around and you're going to be like, wow. I mean, Cam Ward for the last 3 weeks has thrown for 300 yards. He's averaging 3 touchdowns a game. He's not turned the ball over. Like, I don't think this team is equipped for that. So in the meantime, as you're trying to get to the end of this thing and figure out who your next head coach is going to be and hopefully continuing to churn the roster at the end of the year, you know, can he learn some things from this experience? And by the end of the year, do you look at him and say, there was some progress as the year went on in a situation that's just totally crap around him? That's where we're at.
Yeah. As bad as this thing is, if we're at the end and we're not having – we don't have topics that are like, should the Titans consider something else next year?
Right.
We're not having topics like, how about that Fernando Mendoza? Then that's a win. And I honestly think we'll get there. I think there's enough with him. Again, we'll see. That's really the only interest left.
Well,
and it's weeks and weeks. But there is a lot. There's a lot of football. But, I mean, at this point, I think there's enough there that we're not going to have some dramatic, crazy conversation about the number one overall pick after 1 year.
And I would, just to underscore that, to me, it would have to be so bad, given the rest of their roster right now, and what you could hopefully do by acquiring more picks, it would have to be so bad for you to entertain that discussion at the end of the year. And again, it's not been great to this point. I also don't think it's been so bad with him that we're there at the moment. So we'll see if that can continue throughout the course of the year.
But I guess as it always –
hold strong, Cam.
Yeah, what's that?
Hold strong, Cam.
Yeah, there you go. Hang in there, buddy. Well – as we say this, it's just like with any quarterback, it's amazing. By the way, I'm going through the YouTube chat. Apparently the hot mic was hot, and I hope I said some awesome stuff in there. Did I say anything really funny?
I mean, you're a funny guy.
You guys put in the chat what I said during the hot mic. But Jeff here is like, I'm afraid Cam sucks. Stop coddling Cam. Please, people, why make excuses for him? He isn't balling. He's missing wide open receivers for Pete's sake. Well, that, like, we've talked about that, Jeff. He wasn't perfect yesterday. You didn't think he made any plays yesterday? So some people are going to be that. You and who's our guy who is the biggest Cam hater in the world?
Oh, Trey.
The very kind Cam hater.
Yeah, Trey.
Yeah, Trey. You people are out on him. Some people are, when he has bad days, are like, what are you talking about? It, you know, you know, this guy's going to be amazing. It's all everybody else's fault. I mean, yeah, Joe Blacko, agree. Cam was fine. He's getting better. I think that's fair assessment right now. It's not coddling him. That was one of his better days, yeah, I think.
I would agree. And he's also, like, to point that out, he's had some bad days in there. So it's not like there's a ton of great days to choose from.
For sure.
So
yeah, but again, it has to be, like, atrocious.
Yes.
Like, disastrous to consider the number one overall pick not being your quarterback next year. He's going to be their quarterback next year.
Yes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt gets the win against Missouri and some other developments in the SEC. What do we make of the path to the college football playoff after another week for the doors? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.